Bible says in the second chapter of Luke, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, every time of every year at this time, we gather around the manger of Bethlehem. We don't literally go across the ocean and go to Bethlehem, but in our homes and in our churches, we put up manger scenes and try to recreate what happened in Bethlehem that night so that we can get a better understanding of what God's plan is. Many times we look over the shoulders of the characters that were there to try to look at the story from their perspective. And so, for example, we look over the shoulder of Joseph and of Mary and of angels and of shepherds and of wise men. And even sometimes we add characters like the innkeeper, who's not mentioned in the Bible, but in all probability was close. And again, we look from their perspective, trying to get a point of view, trying to get a clear understanding of what God was saying and the message that he was sending at the manger in Bethlehem. And so this morning, that's what I want us all to do. I want us to gather around the manger and not look over the shoulder of the characters that were there, but look at the manger and gather around the manger and look at it from our own perspective. And ask the question. Here's the question I want you to ask this morning. What message was God sending to me at the manger at Bethlehem? What does he want me to understand about it? What does he want me to get out of it? And I hope in the next few moments, you'll get a clear glimpse of that manger. You'll get clear sight of what God was saying there at that manger in Bethlehem. You'll see it like you've never seen it before. In Luke chapter 1, the Bible says this, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." If we were able to go back to Bethlehem and look in the manger the night that Jesus was born, we would say by looking at the little baby, this is not the king. This looks like any other little baby. He sleeps, he cries, he needs to be fed. He needs to be changed. But again, as we gather around the manger and look at the little baby, I want you to look closer, because the first thing we need to establish in order to get the message of the manger of Bethlehem, and the first thing we need to come to grips with, is that in that manger lies the Son of the Highest. In that manger lies the Son of God. And when the angel spoke to Mary about having the little baby, he said, I want you to name him Jesus. That name Jesus means Savior. It means Deliverer. And you might say, well, why do we need a Savior? Why do we need a Deliverer? And the answer to that is one word, sin. Sin. You see, anything in our life that's not in keeping with what God wants us to do is sin. When we tell a little lie, that's a sin. When we disobey mom and dad, that's a sin. When we don't stop at a stoplight or run a red light, that's a sin. And I could go on, and sooner or later, I would name a sin that every single person in this room has committed. I dare say probably with the first one, when the Bible says, thou shalt not lie, all of us are guilty of that, of breaking that Ten Commandment. Now, the Bible says it only takes one sin to make us a sinner. It says in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 10, for if we offend the law in one point, we are guilty of all. And so the one sin, whatever it is, whatever sin you will admit to this morning, and I hope you'll find one in your life that you can admit to, whatever sin you've committed makes you a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death as we know it, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And that's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a deliverer. Because there's nothing we can do to take care of our sins except to pay the price. And that price is to be separated from God. But when Jesus came as a little baby born in a manger, and as he lived his life among us, the Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And when they took him and hung him on a cross, what he was doing was paying the price for every one of our sins. He was paying what we owed. He was paying what we deserved. As he hung on that cross, God put upon him every one of my sins and every one of your sins. Not just the ones you've already committed, but the ones you'll commit tomorrow and the ones I'll commit tomorrow and next week and the week after that and the week after that and the week after that. When Jesus hung on the cross and he cried out, one of the things he said from the cross, it is finished. It is finished. What he was saying is, all sins have been paid for. He was our Savior. He is our deliverer. In Romans chapter 5, the Bible says this, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Every little child that's up here this morning, and some of them are sitting in the congregation this morning, we look at them and we say, well, they're young and they're innocent, but they're still sinners. We look at every single person in the congregation, and there are some good folks, lots of good folks, sitting out in the congregation this morning. But I would say to each of you, we're all sinners. All of us have broken a commandment. All of us in some way have disappointed God. All of us in some way have either done something or not done something that God wanted us or didn't want us to do. Makes us sinners. And God looked at us as sinners. I want you guys to just go ahead and sit down just for a second right where you are. You've been really good. God looked at us at sinners, and he says, in my justice, the wages of sin is death. But in my love, I need to do something to help sinners. Because as I mentioned before, if we were left to our own devices, the only thing that we could do for our sin is to die for it. That's what the wages of sin is. The Bible says that that salvation is of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so even though you may be a good person and do a lot of good deeds and help other people, that doesn't do anything at all to make you right with God. The only thing that makes you right with God is to come the way that God says to come and that's through Jesus Christ. One of the verses that many of us have learned and we say often is that verse from John chapter 3, where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what the manger in Bethlehem is all about. It's about the love that God has for each one of us. You say, "Well, Brother Darrell, you know me a little bit, but I don't deserve God's love." And you know me a little bit too, and I would say the same thing to you. I don't deserve God's love. But I'm glad that eighth verse is in that fifth chapter of Romans, where the Bible says, "But God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I'm so glad that God didn't wait to love me till I deserved it, because I tell you what, I, along with everybody else, would be in hell this morning. We don't deserve God's love. But he loved us, and he sent his Son, born of a virgin, laid in Bethlehem's manger, to start the forgiveness and the payment for sin. He lived as a man 33 years, not one sin. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And he allowed himself to be tried. He allowed himself to be nailed to a cross to pay for each one of our sins. And here's what God says. The price for your sin is paid. And I want to give that payment to you as a gift. But you have to take it. You have to receive it. In John chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And you know what you need to do to be saved this morning? You don't have to join a church. You don't have to become a Baptist. You don't have to get baptized. The one simple thing, and I'm glad God made it so simple so that even children could understand, the one simple thing that we need to do to get our sins forgiven, to be right with God, is simply believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say, "Oh, that's pretty easy, preacher. Hey, I'm not making it up. I'm just telling you the way God said it in the Bible." When Paul and Silas were in jail, and the Philippian jailer came to him in the middle of the night and asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" That's the same thing they told him. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'd invite you right now to consider the things we've sang about and the things that we've talked about. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus Christ paid that penalty when he died on Calvary. God offers to every person the gift of salvation. And if you'll take it, he'll save you. He'll save you. No preconditions. Nothing to do except that one thing. Believe on him. Believe on him. Would you do that this morning? As the choir sang that song, I would just tell each person here that the desire that they sang, "I want to see you, Lord. I want to hear you." Every single person, whether you realize it or not, has that desire. There's a part of you that wants a relationship with God. You were created to fellowship with God. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there is something that's missing in your life that nothing else can fill. I wish we had time this morning to have, I could have people stand all over the auditorium, and I could have them give their testimony, those that have been recently saved and those that have been saved for years. And they could testify about their life before knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they would say it in different words, but they all say the same thing. There was something missing in my life. There was an empty spot in my life. There was something that even though I tried to put all the world had to offer into that spot, it just wouldn't satisfy that longing that I had. And if you're honest this morning and you'll recognize that longing in your life, you would say, there's something missing. But those people would go on to say, when I got saved, and when I met Jesus as my Savior, and when I formed a personal relationship with Him, something changed in my life. That empty spot was no longer empty. That longing in my heart was no longer a longing. It was satisfied. And again, I'll tell you, the only thing that will satisfy that longing that you have for God is God. Nothing else will. Only God. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you a chance to come and receive Him as your Savior. You don't need to come down here to the front. You can do it right where you're set. Say, preacher, how do I ask Jesus to be my Savior? We make it simple, especially for the kids. We break it down to A, B, C. A, you admit that you're a sinner. And again, I won't take the time to go through them, but if you let me talk to you long enough, I'll find a sin that you can claim. I'll find one. Just give me a little bit of time, I'll find one. I don't think it'll take too long. We're all sinners, so admit that you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He had no sin. He came to die for our sin. He came to pay the price for our sin. Believe that. Believe it for yourself. And then C, confess it. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what that verse is talking about, once you realize that you're a sinner, and once you believe that Jesus Christ is the only hope that you have to take care of your sin, then you confess Him, you call upon Him, you ask Him to be your Savior. You can do that right where you're set. Say, preacher, I didn't come prepared to do that this morning. It doesn't matter. You don't need any preparation. All you got to do is admit you're a sinner and believe that Jesus came and died for you. And if you'll call on Him this morning and ask Him, He'll be your Savior. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads, every eye closed. In just a minute, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have an invitation song. If you're here today, and again, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, nobody's looking around but me. If you're here today and with an uplifted hand would say, hey, preacher, I know what you're talking about, that empty spot in my life, I have one. And I want you to pray for me today that I would take advantage of this opportunity to ask Jesus to be my Savior. And if you'll just lift your hand and indicate to me that you have an empty spot and that you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you just lift your hand and do that, I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior? Anybody here that would say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I want you to just ask God that He'll speak to me in a special way this morning and show me Jesus in a way I've never seen Him before. Anybody, would you just lift your hand? Just lift your hand. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity where we've had the opportunity to talk about Jesus and tell folks what they need to do to receive Him. And I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, today would be the day that they decide to receive Him. Children in the auditorium this morning, Father, help them to see that they need Jesus. Many adults here, help them to see the same thing, that it's only Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And I pray, Father, that as we stand and sing a couple verses of an invitation song, that everybody that's here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior would come and receive him. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to hearts, that you would work in each heart. And Father, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Jesus, today would be the day they come and receive him. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. So a week from tomorrow is Christmas. A week from today is Christmas Eve. And I'm sure that either in your home or as you pass the downtown someplace or on a poster somewhere, you'll see a manger. Manger of Bethlehem. Mary, Joseph, shepherds, wise men, angels, maybe even the innkeeper will be there. And here, when you see that manger, here's what I want you to think about. Don't think about just the little baby that lays in that manger. Think about the Savior that went to the cross to save you from your sins. And as you think about that manger, and I know most of us here this morning are Christians, but as you think about that manger, rejoice. Rejoice that God loved you enough that he sent his only begotten Son as a baby in Bethlehem, but then as a Savior on Calvary to pay for your sins.